Hello, my name is Ashley Louisa Santangelo, and I am a coordinator here at the Lesbian Herstory Archives. I chose this letter dated the 14th of October, 1976, because I think that it's a beautiful example of intellectual intimacy and love. Many of the special collections we have here are collections of personal materials donated by persons of all range on the spectrum of fame and non-fame, I guess that's a good way to put it, because we collect materials from all persons who identify themselves as lesbian. And many of these special collections include personal correspondences, and they are endearing because they show a sharing and discussion of opinions, encouragement, affection, and teasing, as well as an understanding of some of the burdens which are common with the lesbian experience. And so with that, I will go right into the letter. Hello, Joe dear. It's 4 a.m. and I'm up early to try and get some writing, thinking done, but all that comes is an imaginary dialogue with you. I chuckled, puzzled, laughed, sighed over your last letter, which you have doubtless forgotten in the passing maelstrom of your mind. I don't mean your mind is chaotic, although it is, a bit, just that so much goes on, and also your writing. You mentioned the breakup of your CR group, which is what caused the chuckling. You see, I visualize you and them from the outside, while you only experience it from their intimidated and furtive escape from you. Listen, love, you'll get a lot fewer mysterious tiptoeings around in life if you are able to face a couple of things. You are egotistical. I'm as certain that you talk too much as I am that the earth turns. I imagine that when you are consciously not talking too much, you sit there like a smoldering basilisk, with even larger gouts of smoke coming out of your ears until your silence dominates all the talk in the room. Or like when the ocean suddenly recedes for miles, leaving the bottom of the bay bare, and people venture forward into the strange, unaware that an odd line on the horizon is a 5-mile-high wall of pent-up words rushing down on them with the speed of light. I can just see it. And of course you intimidate people. You intimidate the hell out of people. When you're being carefully gentle and not intimidating, I imagine it's like being gently dandled from paw to paw by a Kodiak bear. Your natural way is to intimidate everything and everybody in the environment, simply by being in there faster and more complexly and volubly and positively and generally like a loose live wire thrashing about. You're as crazy as a coot. All this has nothing whatever to do with your being or not being a lesbian. The best balanced friend I have is one. So is the second best balanced, at least when last seen. The reason you are crazy, intimidating, egotistically garrulous is because you are some kind of a genius, or part of one, or one part of the time. You are just so full of you and life. I can just see the picture when you have that feeling you're among friends, some who officially shares with you, a woman or a lesbian or a writer, and you feel you can be yourself and or talk honestly to the point. And out comes this incredible flood of A, B, B1, B2, etc., which reminds you of parentheses C, which leads on to E and F, which subsumes general principle G, having the subcorollaries of H prime illustrated by example 7, and when you happened to see me last week suggests that maybe we should turn this whole existential point on its head, which leads to thoughts J, K, and L, and what the hell are you crawling under the rug for when I was just agreeing with you and having a nice conversation? Honey, other people, lesbians, women, men, aardvarks, take a long time to go from A to maybe A and a half, not to mention B. And when you open the curtains and invite people to share worlds, the other person is very apt to crawl under the rug or leap out the fire escape because they haven't got as any such torrential inner world to share back. While you're left feeling like you've been shouting down a well, and why in Christ's name didn't they respond, share back, even interrupt with their own views? They didn't because they couldn't. They haven't any. The lonely steamroller. And subconsciously, you're so used to this, so used to being too fast and too much and seeing more and so forth, that you really don't take seriously any humble daisies offered to you. Other people have been stupid and wrong for too long. Your doom is partial comradeship. Any group will offer you companionship on only a portion of your perimeter or heart. And you are going to have to learn to think with your mouth shut in those perilous moments when lesser mortals sidle up with a flower. Further, you have to recognize that you are not, never, going to be among your peers, part of a real sacred band. You have to find your peers in this or that facet, as you really do. Making a network of part sharings serve the lonely need for a group of true fellows. It's the fate of the over-intellectualized, even on the barricades. In action, you're a Lenin, but in fate, you may be more like Trotsky's. Now that is all I know about that. But I should add that crazy, egotistical, rampantly talkative Joanna is also perfectly sane, kindly, just, luminously compassionate, and I would have no hesitation in exposing my deepest soul quandaries to you. Please emphasize this paragraph. I was so amused, being, you know, older and having seen geniuses trying to make it out in a world of trained poodles, that I went on and on. I know the bulldozer aspect for what it is, and I don't for a minute confuse it with the core of you. I ache for you, Joel. The only real danger in your position is this, like I said, that having had to turn to dismiss so much stupidity, you get into the automatic habit of rejection. Now, sweetie, go out and intimidate the world. Suffer and study and convulse and talk, cook your weak stew. May the sun shine in your weighted curtains. Above all, may the writings go well. And may the world offer you some much-needed security. Love, Tip.